What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And we haven't recorded in 2 fucking weeks.
Yeah, doesn't feel like it.
It feels weird. I moved, so you were nice enough to give me a week off. But yeah, we're coming back, and this is our first Europe episode. Is this our first? I don't even remember what our last episode was.
No, it was Devil's Bath was our first one.
Oh, right, yeah, that's yours. Okay, so this is our second European movie, and it's my pick, and we're talking about Let the Right One In from 2008. The original, not the remake. The remake is good though.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it, yeah. It's been a long time though.
It was fuck, what's his name? Kerr Gilchrist, wasn't it? No.
Oh, I don't know. I know Chloe Grace Moretz was in it.
Right, yeah. She played Ely. But yeah, have you watched this before?
First time watch.
First time watch, okay.
How about you?
I remember watching it like a long time ago. I think I saw the remake before I saw this one. But yeah, this is only like a second watch for me, so. But it was on both of our Hooptober lists, so it's kind of helping both of us out. We're knocking it off, so it's good. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we can kick off our news and booze. There's not gonna be any news tonight, though. Full disclosure.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I forgot. But what are you drinking?
You already know what I'm drinking, man.
Are you still drinking the stuff
No.
you were drinking before? Oh
No.
yeah, you yeah. Right.
Luke, fuck, I even looked it up. Luke so Luke Luxu Soba. Damn it, I was all ready to and looked up on our text and I was like, okay, this is how you say it.
You just drink it on the rocks?
Yeah, of course.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, Luxu Sova.
There you
That's
go.
terrible.
It's our Polish Canadian vodka. I didn't know it was Canadian until I saw that post. Maybe it's not actually. I don't know. But anyways, I'm just drinking Michelob Ultra. Nothing fancy. Our liquor cabinet is still in a box at my garage, so
Fair enough.
this is it. Given the fact that we haven't talked in a couple, well, we've talked, but we haven't recorded in a couple weeks, I imagine your list of movies is quite lengthy, but
So I'll just
last four.
much of the last four I watched, and then a special one that I know that you want to know
I'm
about.
confused, but okay.
You already know because you said you were going to ask me about it, even if I didn't talk about it. So the last four I watched, Hooptober, we're all going to the World's Fair. Been on my watch list for a while. Was not a fan.
See this.
It's the same director, Jane Schoenbrunn, who did I saw the TV Glow.
Right, yeah.
Didn't like it really at all. I was very, very bored. This has really, really good reviews, so I'm definitely in the minority here. There's like a couple like creepy parts, but like some people like saw like saying like one of the scariest movies of the decade, and like I don't
Yeah.
know, I don't get it.
What was the category on Hooptober for that one?
I don't know, to be honest.
Okay. Never mind. You don't have to look it up.
I forget what I put it in there for.
Okay.
Watch 10 Cloverfield Lane,
Nice.
another one for October. It's been a while since I've seen this. I only really remembered like a little bit from it. Yeah, it's all right. Not really like a horror movie, more like a thriller.
Yeah.
But I still remember the first time watching this and like the reveal at the end. It's like, oh shit.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Because I didn't know if it was like a sequel to it. Like it's very different from like Cloverfield, obviously. Perfect Neighbor, just like a documentary we watched. Watched The Ruins, also on Hooptober. I read this book a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we all read it. That was a
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, it's like basically a shot for shot remake of the book. Like from what I remember, it wasn't really anything new to it. It was all right. And then Train to Busan, I mean, not much to say there, you know, amazing movie.
Perfect movie.
But I know the one that Mark is really antsy to hear is one of his favorite movies.
Totally.
So for some reason I added Sallow or the 120 Days of Sodom to my Hooptober because you and Ben have been trying to get me to watch it for a while. And so Ben thought that if we drew an episode on this, then I was like, no, I just picked it. And he's like, you watch that just for the fun of it? I was like, I guess if you put it that way. Very disturbing movie. Not as disturbing as what everyone's made it out to be. Like I've heard people like couldn't finish it, like just will never watch it again. Like I thought I was getting into something way worse than what it was.
I mean, yeah, like guys eating shit and,
Yeah.
pedophilia. It's not too bad, though.
Yeah, and the guys in it are like really fucked up. Like they're doing this stuff to the kids, but then like they want it done to themselves too. It's like what the fun? Crazy movie. That's
Would
it.
you ever watch it again?
I mean, never is like a pretty strong statement. I was really close to buying the Criterion, honestly, like before I watched it. Just I don't know. I feel like if that movie's like on Criterion, then like there's just something about it. I don't know.
And like, because you and Ben were kind of talking about it too, because the director got murdered like immediately
Yeah.
after this movie was made.
Yeah, he didn't even get to see the finished product.
Yeah, so it's like it's just a wild string of events that kind of happened. I feel like it is one that I kind of want to have in my physical collection, even if I just buy it and never watch it. But I mean, like, if I bought it, I would watch it for sure. But
And like because I
it's.
read like on like a lot of the special features on that physical collection, a lot of like the they do interviews with like the kids and some of the actors, and like the kids had an amazing time on it. Like they didn't see any of the stuff that like in the movie, like they didn't really know what they were doing. Like it sounded like a good time on set, even though like movie's fucking weird and fucked up. But yeah, anyway, what would you?
Hold on. There we go. I watched quite a bit actually, but yeah, my last five, they're all Hooptober movies because that's all I've been focusing on trying to get it done. So I watched The Dead Don't Die. That was the first time watch for me. That was one of my zombie movies. Haxan, which is a 1920s movie. That's what the category was. No, silent film was the category. So boring, dude. Like, and I'm definitely in a minority with this because it got such high ratings, but it's just so fucking boring, man. And I don't know. I do enjoy some silent films, but maybe it's just not my cup of tea. But it kind of read like a documentary on witches and witchcraft and stuff like that from back in the day. So it's kind of like a almost a documentary, like a dramatized documentary in the silent film era. It's kind of weird. I watched Possession, which was for because you have to do nine countries, I think, or six countries. So it was one of those. Again, minority. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I gave it 2 stars. A lot of people fucking love this movie. Like, it is, I think it's
Yeah,
got
it's
like a
been on my
f
watch list for a while.
you might really like it, because I'm trying to, what's the average score on Letterboxd? It's got a 4.1 average score on Letterboxd.
Okay.
So people really enjoy it. And it was a well-made movie. It's just the main girl is just like screaming the whole movie. And Sam Neill's in it too. And he's fucking
Yep.
weird, dude. He was really weird. But yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that. And then I watched 1942's Cat People.
Okay.
I think that was a movie for the 40s, I think was the category for that one. And it was good. Not great, but good. I enjoyed it. But I'm kind of on a string of like not great movies with my Hooptober. Like the last one, I gave Tucker and Dale versus Evil, I gave that a 4. But from that to The Dead Don't Die, my highest is a 3. So
Yeah.
not great. But we'll see how that shapes up with Let the Right One In.
Nice.
And with there being no news, what do we have for 4K?
4Ks. Wrong button. So 4Ks, we got Eddington.
Nice.
Very curious to watch that movie.
I know, me too.
We got the X Trilogy.
Oh, shit.
X, Pearl, and Maxine.
I have to buy that.
Yeah. Superman the Movie on 4K. Rampage. Nosferatu the Vampire from 1979. The Place Beyond the Pines. Savages. Eon Flux. Clue. We got Altered States on Criterion. History of Violence on Criterion.
A very weird cover for A History of Violence.
It is. It really is. Shakespeare's Shitstorm.
Okay.
Interesting. And that's it.
Nice. That's some like eclectic movies, but not a bad
Yeah,
list.
exactly.
Cool. I want to get that Max or the X trilogy.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
Good to go. Let's talk about this movie then.
Let's do it.
Like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about Let the Right One In from 2008. This movie is from Sweden. Starting off the synopsis, a bullied boy forms a unique friendship with his new neighbor, a peculiar girl with a dark secret. Short and sweet, doesn't give away the story. I like that synopsis.
Yep.
This was directed by Tomas Alfredson, who did Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is a really good movie. The Snowman, which I never watched, but it looks good.
Me either.
And then he just did like a whole slew of Swedish movies and TV shows. Didn't really have
Okay.
anything else that really hit mainstream, I don't think. The cast list, we have Kjær Hedebrandt, who played Oscar. Lena Leanderson played Eli. Per Ragnar played Hakon. And Henrik Dahl played Eric. I don't have any honorable mentions. I don't know if you do.
Me either.
Let's fucking dive in.
So on Letterboxd, depends on which tier you're subscribed to, whatever, but you can change the movie poster and the backdrop on certain movies. And I'm glad that I didn't change the backdrop before I watched this movie, because they like give away so many scenes in this movie.
Really, in the backdrops?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Like one is like the girl on fire, and then
Oh
one
shit.
backdrop is like the very end of the movie where we get that crazy scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was crazy.
Yeah, good thing.
So yeah, like we said, talking about Let the Right One In. Oh, actually, I wanted to look something up. I wrote it down. I meant to look this up. So I noticed on the credits that it had, because they have like the credits in like Swedish, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know like what well, obviously producer, like you probably guess what it is, but they had I noticed Hoyt Van Hoytema was on there,
Okay.
and he is a cinematographer who has worked with Christopher Nolan.
Oh shit. Okay.
So he's the one that did Tenet.
Oh.
He did Nope with Jordan Peele. He did Interstellar,
Wow.
Dunkirk. So like, for him to do this movie, like obviously this movie came out what 2008, I think.
Yeah.
So that would have been way before, I think, any Nolan movie, I think, right?
Yeah, before his like big popular ones anyways.
Yeah, so let me see here. So this was his first kind of mainstream movie
Wow.
that he did.
That's pretty impressive because like the cinematography in this movie is really good.
Yeah.
Like I think it's filmed really well.
Yeah, like the next movie he did as a cinematographer, like he worked as a director of photography on a few movies like The Fighter, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, Her.
Yeah.
But yeah, then he did Interstellar, Spectre, Dunkirk, Ad Astra, Tenet, Nope. Like this guy,
Wow.
Oppenheimer, like this guy. And he's doing The Odyssey as well, which I think we mentioned on what episode we do. We mentioned him. Anyway.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, but
That's
yeah,
impressive.
it
That's quite the
is.
fucking career.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, those are all beautifully shot movies.
Yeah. So yeah, the movie opens up. We hear someone saying, "Squeal like a pig, you know, come on, squeal like a pig." And we see Oscar is in the window and he has this knife and he's kind of saying these things like he's a 12-year-old boy, very skinny, you know, typical Swedish look with like the blonde hair, kind of weird haircut. And there's someone moving into the building with him. We see them putting up cardboard in the windows. So obviously, you know that what we know. If you know it's a vampire movie, then you know the vampire's moving next door, basically. And we see him, he gets bullied in class at school, and I fucking hate these bullies, man. Oh man,
Yeah,
they're
they're rough.
like, because it's like typical bullies, right? Like there's the one main one, Connie,
Connie, yeah.
who has two other guys, but like the two other bullies, they're kind of like sheep, right? They're just following Connie, trying to like maybe be cool, or they're scared of Connie as well, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, which is typically the way it goes in movies like this, right? Like, there's always
Yeah.
one ringleader.
Yeah.
The Henry Bowers of the group.
Exactly. So we cut to someone in an apartment. I believe it's Hakan is his name. At first, I didn't know what he's doing because he has like this jug with like I don't know what it's called. Anyway, I thought like they were like peeing in the jug or something, like didn't have a bathroom, but then like he packs it all up in this like case and goes out to the park, and we see him standing there with like something behind him, and some guy comes up to him. It's like dark, obviously, and Hacken's like, "Oh, do you have the time?" The guy's like, "No, sorry, I don't have a watch." And the guy's like, "What's that behind your back?" He's like, "Oh, this, it's whatever, formaldehyde or whatever he says," and then just fucking puts the gas mask on the guy and knocks him out.
Chloroform, wasn't it? The chloroform?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
Yeah.
and then the next scene, the guy is hanging upside down, and he has like the jug puts underneath. I was like, okay, but like this guy just does it in the middle of the fucking park. Like, I was like, what are you doing? Like, it's a walking path,
Yeah.
right? And
Anybody can get caught or can catch you.
he's like not trying to hide it at all.
Yeah. What is he? What are they called? A familiar. That's what he is. So he's like,
Okay, so that's my question. Yeah.
he's
So
like, he's Ely's Redfield, basically. Renfield, basically.
it's not her dad.
No.
Okay. That's
She.
why I thought, I was like, is it familiar? Because after this happens, we don't see it, but we hear someone yelling, screaming at him, like, "Do I have to fucking do it myself?" You know, in the
Yeah,
apartment.
because he stops killing for her.
Well, he fucks up, right?
Yeah.
Because the fucking dog shows up, And like I love this shot because like the dog is there, like this giant fluffy poodle. Then like a guy just hanging, draining blood, and Hacking is like, here's the people calling the dog, and he sees the dog staring at him, and he's just like, shoo, shoo. And just leaves the guy and just fucking leaves, like leaves the blood and everything.
So I don't understand why Ely just doesn't go out and do it herself. I don't, because like the way he does it, it's easier for him to get caught, right? Because he knocks them out, then he drags them back to the apartment. She like that. Like I feel like that's easier to get caught doing than her. Because like we see her a couple times, she'll just like fucking jump on somebody walking by, and it's a quick thing. But I don't know. Maybe it's for secrecy. Because like the way that she obviously bites their necks and stuff, right? So maybe so there's
Well,
no
because
bite
like with
marks or anything.
familiars, like as far as I know of, like I'll basing this off of what we do in the shadows. But basically they want to become vampires, right? And like the vampire will like promise to turn them into a vampire themselves. So I don't know if that's what's happening here,
Yeah, it's possible.
but yeah, he just fucking books out of there, leaves all the blood, everything. So next night, Oscar is out in the park and he has the knife and he's like talking to a tree, he's like fucking stabbing it. He wants to do these things to Connie, obviously, right? Sick of for himself, but like at the end of the day, he's not like built like that, right? Like that's not his kind of personality.
And I mean, stabbing somebody's a little intense. I like what he does end up doing later on in the movie. I think Connie fucking deserved that.
I fucking laugh my head off.
And I mean, he's not stabbing him, he's not killing him, he's just
No.
hurting him.
Yeah, exactly. But I love this shot too because he's like sitting on the like play structure thing, and then like camera just like pans out and you see just this girl standing there with like basically like no clothes on, like it's winter time, and she's just standing there, and she comes up to him and she tells him like, I can't be your friend, and he's like, oh, why did you think I wanted to be your friend?
She's just brutally honest.
So we learned that Oscar's parents are divorced or split up. I kind of, why do you think, they don't really say exactly why they're divorced, but the mom doesn't seem that great, to be honest, but also the
No.
dad. At a later scene, you kind of get the sense that he might be an alcoholic or prioritizes his friends and drinking over spending time with his son. But he does seem like a really cool dad, like when he's not with friends, like, they're like on the snowmobile, going hunting or whatever, and I don't know. Seems like a good relationship, kind of.
But is it enough to counterbalance all the shitty stuff? I feel like the parents are just kind of toxic in a sense.
Yeah,
And I
exactly.
feel like the father is like very like manly man, whereas Oscar is very much not that. Like you've already said, he's bullied at school, he's weak, he's very skinny, doesn't fit in with anybody. At one point, and I do kind of like the scene, he goes to the phys ed teacher and he's like, "Oh, I want to sign up for the after school weightlifting program." So it's like he's trying to do more for himself, but it's, I don't know, it's just not enough.
I really love all the scenes between Oscar and Ellie. It really reminded me of the vampire version of My Girl a little bit.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
Like, because they're 12 years old, so like it's not like it's a love story, but like kind of like My Girl, like they're really young, right? So like obviously like it's just like a what's the word, like a
Puppy love.
puppy love, exactly.
Yeah, it's a
And
very
like it and
innocent, like.
yeah and the, and this movie too, like it's just a great coming of age movie. Like obviously Oscar is going through these feelings, right? But Ellie, she's 12 years old, but we learned that obviously she's a vampire, so she's been 12 years old for a long time. So she's been stuck in this stage, right? Like, we don't really know exactly what she's been through, how long she's been a vampire, right?
And like, obviously vampires aren't real, but like, if they were, being turned at 12 years old would fucking suck, man. 'Cause like, you can't have any form of a relationship for as long as you live. 'Cause it's illegal.
I mean,
Like, she's like 200 years old, but she's actually only 12. So like, she's never going to know love. Like she's, you know what I mean? Like, it's like in Interview with the Vampire as well with Kirsten Dunst. Have you watched that? Yeah, so it's the same thing. She gets turned at a very young age and then she's fucked for the rest of her life. It's just, I don't know, it's shitty.
But I love this courtyard scene too, because like they're both staying there, and then like Ellie's like, "You need to leave. I want to be alone." Then Oscar's like, "I want to be alone too." Then he has like the Rubik's Cube, and she's like, "What's that?" And he's like, "Oh, it's a Rubik's Cube." And he like gives it to her and kind of shows her how to do it. And then he like tells her that she smells funny and asks if she's cold, and that is like, it's, I don't know, it's funny.
I love how honest kids are sometimes.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
you smell funny.
So we see her inside the apartment. We see that she is very hungry. And so obviously, Haken isn't cutting it right now, or he's not even there at the moment. So she has to go and find food on her own. So we see a guy walking, and we see Ellie under this bridge, and he sees her, asks if she needs help, and she's like, "Yeah, I need help, blah blah blah." And he like picks her up, and then just, it's like kind of dark, so you don't see exactly it happening. We see like their shadows and stuff, and she's just fucking going ham on
It's
him.
just mauling him.
And then he falls down, and she's like eating him. And then there's a guy, his name is Gosta or Gosta, the cat dude who has way too many cats.
So many, man.
But he's in the balcony and he sees this happening, and she just fucking picks up the guy and just break turns his fucking head right around. Because like she doesn't want to turn him into a vampire, right?
Yeah, she has to kill him. I love the look of her when she gets hungry as well.
Because the first night whenever Oscar sees her, like she's very like pale-ish, and she kind of looks like blue, kind of like dirty, and her like fingernails are kind of dirty, and like she smells, right? And then whenever she kills this guy and eats, the next day she comes back, and even I was like, "Whoa, she looks like so much better now." Like she
Yeah,
almost like
she, like,
glowing, right?
yeah, her skin clears up and she's lost all these like dark, dirty spots all over her, and her hair is like done nicer, and
Yeah, she has like more energy to her. And then she asks him like, "Do I smell better?" And at one point, Haken is at this like cafe thing, and one of the guys, his name is Lack or Lackey, something like that. So is he the landlord of the apartment that they rent, or does he just break into the apartment at the end of the movie? Because
I
he gets
don't
into
know.
Ellie's apartment at the end of the movie, so it was like, is he like the landlord, or did he just fucking break into this place?
Well, I know because he's friends with Gosta or Gosta. Is he not?
There's like a few of them, right? There's Gosta,
Jocko.
Jed Jocko, Jania, the girl, because they're at that cafe and they see Haken, and they're like kind of talking like, "Oh, I don't recognize that guy. Who's that?" And then Locke is like, "Oh, I see him in the building. He just moved into our building." And they're like, "Oh, you should invite him over for drinks or whatever with us." And then he goes over to Haken, and Haken just like is not even like talking to him. He's just like, I gotta go.
Yeah. So maybe they just live in the apartment building, and because they suspect that he or that they killed Gosta and later on Jocko.
So yeah, they're telling him about Jocko. They go to the place, they find the blood. And so obviously they know that something happened. We see the dad, or not the dad, sorry, the familiar hack, and he is dragging the body away. He puts it in a wa in some kind of body of water. And the next day, Ellie leaves the Rubik's Cube for Oscar, and she solved it. And I love whenever he's like asked her, like, so how old are you? And she's like, 12, more or less.
Yeah, I love
And
that.
he is like, she's like, how old are you? And he's like, 12 years, whatever, 8 months,
Nine
10 days
days.
or something. Like, yeah. And he's like, what do you mean more or less? And then I forget what she said. And he's like, do you know your birth? When's your birthday? She's like, I don't know. And he's like, weird.
Yeah.
So we learned that there is a field trip on Thursday. They are to some ice skating, I believe. We see that Oscar stays late at school, and he made kind of a Morse code coding to talk to Ellie through the wall. So like they do Morse code through the wall and kind of talk to each other. But before he gets back home, bitch ass Connie stops him, and three of them are there. And I forget what Connie tells him to do here.
I don't
But
remember.
long story short, the smaller kid has like this like stick or like whip thing, and Connie tells him to do it. And like clearly this kid is like almost in tears, right? Like he doesn't want to do this at all. But he just starts like whipping Oscar in the leg, and Oscar is like not even like flinching, and the kid is like tearing up. He's like not wanting to do it at all. And then Connie kind of gives him like a nod, and he like whips Oscar in the face, and then they leave. And like this kid's like bawling, like not Oscar, but like the kid is doing it, right? Like you kind of feel bad for him, right? A little bit, but yeah. Yeah, Ellie tells Oscar to hit them back. I thought that was funny. I love the scene whenever they're like hanging out together, and he gets candy for her, and
Oh,
then she's
yeah.
like, "Oh, I can't have it," and then she's like, oh, "I guess I can try one." And I was like, "Is this gonna be like what we do in the shadows thing?" And then she eats it. And like the next scene, like she's behind the building just like throwing up, and I was like, "Okay, can't have it."
I know there's some little additions in this movie that like aren't they're not necessary, but it's really cool because it progresses their relationship, like these little tiny things, like them going out for candy and like Oscar offering to buy her a bag of candy. And it's just like it really shows the progression of their relationship as friends and how he wants to be her boyfriend and all this stuff.
At what point do you think that Oscar, because later on in the movie, he asks if she's a vampire, but like, at what point do you think he was like, okay, she's a vampire, or like has a suspicion?
I think it's when she climbs in his bedroom window.
Okay. Like when she sleeps with them in the bed with them?
'Cause like she's on his windowsill and she has to ask him to let her in, which is where the name of the movie comes from. It's well-known vampire lore, thanks to the Lost Boys as well. But like they're high up, like she's high up.
Yeah, like three stories, something like that.
And she's not wearing any proper clothing. She's got blood all over her mouth. He didn't see the blood. But I feel like that's when he's starting to suspect that something's up with her. Maybe not that she's a vampire, but that she's fucking weird.
Exactly. So Haken tells Ellie not to see the boy tonight. Then we see Haken is out fucking being a creep at some men's basketball league, just creeping in the window. And so they like finish up, and there's like two guys outside that are like, oh, where the fuck is whatever, Chris or whatever. As they go inside, you see that Hacken has this guy shown up in the locker room, and he's like getting set up, and then you see like the guys on the other side of the window like knocking, like, "Hey man, where are you at?" And then he like wakes up from the gas, and he's yelling like, "Help me!" And then Hacken like runs into the shower area and has he spills like the gas on like a coat or something and like kind of like burns up a bit. And then he runs into the showers and the guys come in to the where the guy's shown up and like, "How the fuck did you get up here?" And then like he has his glass and I'm like, is he gonna drink it and kill himself? But no, he fucking dumps it on his face.
Which is fucking wild.
And I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's so like they can't identify who he is, but like, why does it matter?
I think I would rather die than do that.
Yeah, exactly. Because like half his face is all fucked up, right?
Yeah, just fucking Harvey Dent.
Yeah. So the next day, Oscar is doing his workout. And this coach is so fucking funny, man. He's the worst spotter. Like he's sitting beside Oscar with like his short shorts, and Oscar's like has a little fucking bar. Like he's struggling. His guy's just reading a magazine, and Oscar's just like struggling to do it. We see that Connie and them threw his pants in the urinal and fucking pissed on him. God, fucking little bitches, man. So Hacken was arrested. He disfigured himself. We see he's at the hospital. Ellie goes there and asks, like, "Oh, my father got arrested or something." And they're like, "Oh, well, you can't go out there because it's like restricted area." So she's like, "Okay," and like walks out, has no shoes on. And I barely saw this. I don't know if you caught it, but her running up the fucking building.
No, I didn't.
So like I was like typing notes because you see like the nurse like walk out of the building, right?
Yeah.
And I was like typing notes. I look up and just in the background, you see her climbing to the back of the building behind her. I was like, that's fucking sick.
Yeah, and I want to watch it.
Yeah, so she gets up to the window. Hacken is still alive. And she ends up opening the window, I think, or he opens the window and then
Again,
bites
though, he
him.
has to invite her in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so she bites him, kills him, and then throws him out the window where he falls. Fucking brutal fall, like
So brutal.
just face smash off the fucking awning or whatever.
Yeah. And he's not dead right away.
Now like you see like the cold air coming out of his like fucking two
Yeah.
face fucking mouth.
This is like the first, like, we got a good close up of what his face looks like, and it's
Yeah.
fucking gnarly, man.
It is, yeah. Exactly. So like you said before, Ellie goes back to Oscar's house and she comes in and she gets in the bed and she tells him like, "Oh, don't look," because she like strips down. I don't know if it's naked, but like probably naked. And she gets in and he's like, "How'd you get in?" And she's like, "I flew."
Yeah.
And he's like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I really love this scene too. Like it's innocent, but like also like romantic-ish. I don't know, it's kind of weird to say because it was like 12 years old, right? But they're like talking to each other and like he asks her, like, "Do you want to go steady?" And she's like, "What's that?" And he's like, "Be my girlfriend," pretty much. And she's like, "Well, is there a difference between like what we're doing now?" And he's like, "No, not really." And she, at this point, she does say like she's not a girl because she's like obviously like a vampire, right? Like she's not a normal girl.
Now, I've read in the book, or I've read that in the book, she was a boy whenever she got turned. And the person who turned her castrated her and, like, essentially was like, "You're a girl now."
That explains a scene later in the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Because during this initial scene, she's like, "I'm not a girl." And I was just like, is she just saying that because she's a vampire and, like, she's not a regular girl?
So do you think her name is actually Eli, not Ellie?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Huh. Interesting.
So Now I want to read the book.
Yeah. Is it the same title? So now they're at the field trip. They're going ice skating, and obviously we know that they're gonna find the body.
Man, I love this scene.
So there's like two kids. They say that they go pee, so they go off to whatever pee. And then we see Connie and the fucking two little sheep go up to Oscar, and Connie's like, "You want to go swimming, eh?" And we see that Connie found like the walking stick, whatever that Hacken used to push the body into the ice. And we can see the coach is looking at Connie and them, right? Like, I feel like the coach has an idea that this is happening, but like has no proof really, because Oscar isn't saying anything and it's not really being done in front of the coach, right? But then like at the exact same time we hear like the kids who want to go pee screaming they found the body, and then we just see Connie take one step towards Oscar. I think Oscar says like, "Don't come near me, I'll fucking hit you." And then Connie, like fucking cocky as can be, "You're not gonna hit me." It takes one step and just this wide shot, just boom,
Whack.
right in the side of the head, and like basically destroyed his ear. Like,
Yeah, splits his ear wide open.
yeah.
And there is no better sound than Connie's fucking little bitch screams
Yeah.
while he's holding his ear. I was just
Yeah.
like, fuck yeah, Oscar.
Yeah, exactly. And so they find the dead body, obviously. And I love the scene when the cops are pulling the body out and you see like the fucking the body
This is
stuck in
what,
the
man, I
ice.
fucking love it. I was laughing so hard
Yeah.
because they chainsaw a block of ice around the body and they have this like crane thing that's lifting him up, and his back is would have been out of the water where his legs and arms and face were in the water.
Yeah.
So it's just like the lump of his back on top of the ice, and then you just see his arms and legs and face sticking out of the bottom of it. And it's just, I don't know,
Yeah.
I was laughing.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. But yeah, those poor kids, they're fucking traumatized for life now.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So we see later that night, Ellie and Oscar are hanging out. He takes her to this like secret kind of underground building area where all these older kids usually hang out. And they're kind of hanging out, chilling. And then out of nowhere, fucking Oscar cuts his hand and she's like shocked. She's like, "Are you fucking dumb? Like, what are you
Yeah,
doing?"
what are you doing?
He's
Oh,
like,
this is
"We're..."
probably where he clued in that she's a vampire.
Well, I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Anyways, keep going.
But anyway, and he's like, "Oh, we're gonna mix blood." He's like, "Come on." And she's like fucking trembling, fucking, and then
She's
she
starting to
gets
get that
down.
like that look of where she's hungry again.
So she gets down on her knees and she's licking up the blood, and then she tells Oscar, like, "Get the fuck out of here." Basically.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to attack him.
And then so she tells him to go away, and then she is out by herself, and we see that kind of the gang, Lack, Jania, Gosta are all out, and they're like finishing up, hanging out, whatever. And then we see Gania and Lack, they're like going back to the apartment. Then all of a sudden we see Ellie jump on Jania and fucking bite her, and then Lack comes up, kicks Ellie off, and Ellie has to leave. And you're like, "Oh shit, is Jania gonna turn into a fucking vampire?" And yeah, she does.
She does, yeah.
So we mentioned before that the dad is kind of like an alcoholic, and you kind of see why maybe that relationship ended, his parents. This scene with Jania, I fucking was dying laughing.
With the cats,
Yeah.
so terrible, man.
It was so terrible, but so good. I've never seen anything like that in my life. So she goes to the spot where they found the blood before, and then she goes to Gosta's place, which Lack is there, and I believe Lackey is, are they like husband and wife or just like dating? She goes there, and like Gosta like has that cat sense to him. Like I feel like he's been around cats so much, he just knows.
Turning into fucking Selena Kyle.
Yeah, because like he immediately goes on his balcony with one of the cats because he knows something's up. Like something's weird with this girl.
Yeah.
And all the cats are like it's I don't, is it CGI? Some of them, like, would you say it's
Dude,
CGI?
so bad CGI.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It was terrible CGI.
I was laughing though, because the
Yeah.
cats are like kissing and going on their and like 10 of them, I just spit everywhere.
I saw that.
Attack Jania, and she goes like flying down the stairs, and oh man, it's so
Yeah.
fucking funny.
Oh,
I was dying laughing. So Oscar goes to Ellie's house, and this is where he asks if she's a vampire, and she knows that. Like, I love this scene too, because like she's going into her house, and like in one of the rooms is like a glass door, and he's trying to go in there, and she like shuts it, and they're like kind of like putting their hands up to each other,
Yeah.
and he's like, asked her, are you a vampire? And she basically says yes. And I don't know, it's very cute and like, I don't want to say like romantic, because you know it just feels weird, but like
Yeah.
it kind of is, right? Like, because she's like a 12-year-old, but she's older. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she has like all these old artifacts and like stuff like that. She has like money, and she's like is gonna give it to Oscar, and he's like, well, this is from the people who killed, right? She's like, no, someone gave it to me. But we see Lackey is visiting the hospital with Jania, and he's like telling her like, oh, we're gonna get out of here, we're gonna get some money and run away together or whatever.
Yeah.
And the next morning we see the doctor comes in, and he's like, okay, I gotta take your blood. And she's like, okay, but can you open the blinds for me? Opens the blinds and immediately on fire. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I thought that scene was cool though.
I kind of like it too. Like,
Yeah.
she kind of just took fate in her own hands. She didn't want
Yeah.
to be a vampire, so she just,
Yeah.
kill me like
Yeah.
this.
Yeah. And then the next day at school, we see Oscar sees Connie, and then this older guy comes up to Connie and kind of like not beating him up, but is like playing with him. Is like, oh, is this like an older person who is picking on Connie? Which would make sense, right? Of why he picks on Oscar, but it's his older brother, which still may have the same kind of effect, right? Like,
Yeah.
you know, the little brother always tries to copy the big brother, right? Is that the same with your two boys a little bit, or do you find?
Hunter trying to copy Brady?
Yeah.
Yeah, with some stuff. Like, Hunter tries to have the same interests as Brady and stuff like that. Whereas, like, Logan will just flat out copy anything that the two old.
Okay.
So like Hunter tries to, like, I don't know, have similar interests. So Brady will
Yeah.
talk to him about shit like that. And then Logan's
Yeah.
just like, I'm gonna copy everything you do.
But yeah, so you kind of get why Connie is the way he is, but still isn't really not an excuse for what he does, right?
Yeah.
And one of my favorite scenes in this movie, I've never seen a vampire movie do this, at least that I can remember. But Ellie shows up at Oscar's house, and she knocks on the door. He opens, and she's like, "Can I come in?" And he like nods his head. She's like, "No, you have to say it." And then he's like, you know, pulling his finger
White.
towards her.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you have to say it. And he's like, well, what would happen if you come in and I don't say it? And she kind of like is scared. Like, do you think that she knows what will happen?
I think so, yeah.
And she's just trying to prove a point to him.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So she walks in, and she like goes in, and like everything's fine. And the camera goes behind her, and she's like kind of staying there. All of a sudden, you see a fucking blood spurt from like her shoulder, and I was like, what the fuck's happening? And then it turns around and there's like fucking blood coming out of her eyes, her nose, her ears. I'm like, that is fucking sick.
It was
I
really
don't know
cool.
if I've ever seen a vampire movie do that before. Like, I don't know if that's the lore behind that, right?
Well,
Because like,
I know with some of the lore, like they physically can't.
yeah, like in
Like they'll,
Sinners, right?
yeah, like they'll try to, but they
Like they
just,
try and trick someone, right?
and they just physically cannot do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, I really liked this scene. It's just, 'cause like you said, it's just kind of a fresh take on that specific lore. It's just really cool. And the way Oscar starts freaking out, he's like, I'm sorry, you can come in.
Yeah. 'Cause like Oscar is like 12 years old, right? So he's not only learning about like obviously puberty and growing up, but like he's curious about vampires now, right? Because he's like, what's stopping you? He's like putting his hand up. He's like, what? Some physically there? Like, I don't understand. And like you said before, or mentioned briefly, she's bleeding, like her clothes are covered in blood. So he like says, oh, my mom's dress. She uses her dress. So she goes in and he like sneakily goes up like a fucking creep, looks in, and then cuts her vagina or lack thereof. And I was like, whoa, okay, I did not expect to see that. And like you said, it's just like kind of something happened, right?
She's like a Ken doll.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit more bloody and, you know. But yeah. So at any point in this movie, did you think that Oscar thought about having her turn him into a vampire?
I don't like, I never had that thought, but I don't know if he would want her. I don't know. 'Cause like he's the type of kid that probably would want that, right? Like, or
Yeah.
thinks that he wants that because like he's bullied, he's got nothing going for him. He's got a shitty home life.
Yeah.
So he might think like, if I do this, me and Ellie can kind of like be together in a sense, and like it can just be her and I sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like one person that he can fit in with because he doesn't fit in with anybody.
Yeah.
So I didn't think about that, but I think he possibly would toy with the idea. What do you think?
I was thinking, 'cause like at this point, their relationship is so strong together. Well, even more after this next part with Locke. But like you said, yeah, like she's the only one that understands him or doesn't give a fuck about like his bringing up, like, you know, all that stuff, right? And they have kind of like the same interests and like puzzles and yeah, I don't know.
Plus, it would give him the strength to fuck up all the people that are bullying him too,
That's
right?
true. Yeah. So they're in Ellie's apartment, and Ellie, it's the daytime now, so Ellie's gonna go to sleep. So she tells him, don't go in the bathroom. But then we see Lockie, he shows up in her house, and Oscar is hiding under the table. He's there. And Lockie breaks into the bathroom, and he, I love like the kind of makeshift coffin that she has. Because it's like kind of like the what are those bathtubs called? The foot.
Like a clawfoot tub.
Yes, exactly. And they have like a blanket over top, like a sheet basically, they cover from the top. It like lifts up and she's like sleeping. And then he takes out a knife as he like stab her in the neck. And then we see Oscar behind him, he pulls out his knife, but then he drops it and he can't do it. But then she wakes up and she kills Lockie. And so, yeah, so that's done. And then she tells him that she has to go away. And then she kisses him. And I thought it was very sweet.
Yes, it was.
So he sees her driving away in a taxi, or so you think. So the next day, one of the bullies, the taller one, he calls Oscar and asks, like, oh, are you going to be there tonight? Whatever. And Oscar's like, yeah, I'm going to be there. So being friendly with Oscar. So they're at like this pool, and Oscar is taking like his strength class, but they're doing like in water aerobics basically. And the coach is like fucking on the side dancing and has like the radio, and then we see Connie and them start a fire in a dumpster outside, and then the tall kid tells the coach goes running, and then we see the tall kid, like he starts dancing, and Oscar's like having a good time. And then we see Connie, the older brother, and the younger kid show up and tell everyone to get the fuck out. And you're like, I knew this was coming, or I'd hope, because like I want to see them get their comeuppance. And so the older brother shows up, pulls out a knife, and he tells Oscar, "You know who I am. You know why I'm here." Oscar's like, "Yeah," and he basically says, "We're gonna have a little competition. If you can stay underwater for 3 minutes, I'll just nick you. But if you come up before that, I'm gonna basically take your eye out of your fucking head. An ear for an eye," he says. Jimmy was his name. And so Oscar, I mean, I guess he can't really get it. Like he could, I don't know. Nothing he can really do, I guess, right? He could just like stay in the
No.
water until the coach comes back, maybe. I don't know. So he swims up, and the Jimmy grabs his hair, says, "Okay, take a deep breath," and like counts down. He's actually kind of nice about it, honestly.
I mean, yeah, sure.
But sticks his head underwater, is like holding him, like holding his hair, and the camera is underneath with him, which totally makes sense why this cinematographer, why not make up one of the greatest in cinema right
It's
now.
such a great scene.
And like this is why I love this movie so much, and like movies that do this, because that first watch kind of excitement and like shock you get, like excitement, because the camera's underneath. All of a sudden, you hear kind of muffled screams, or you see what we think. And then to the left of Oscar, you see these feet on the top of the water just being pulled. And you're like, fuck yeah, let's fucking go. And then you see a head fall in the water. And you're like, hell yeah, there's
She's
feet.
fucking shit up.
And then you see just a hand fall in the water, and Oscar still has his eyes closed. And then the camera pans out, and you see the tall bully at the back. You see Jimmy with his fucking head ripped off, his arm ripped off. You see Connie is like twisted in half, basically. And then you see the little kid just on the side, sitting and crying, because he was doing that as they're doing this, right? He's like, this is too far. And you see him just sitting and crying. He was left alive, which,
I like that she left him alive.
yeah, me too. But are you glad that they shot it like that and didn't show
Fuck yeah.
her like the full thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was so much more clever to do it like this. And just because, I mean, every movie does it that one way. And this really kind of set this movie apart from those other ones where it's just complete blood and gore in an attack like this. And this, you see what's happening, but you don't actually know what's happened until that camera pans out. And it's so fucking good.
Exactly,
It's a great scene.
so then the next day, or however long this is, I assume it's the next day, we see Oscar on a train, don't know where he's going. But we see this big cardboard box or wooden box. All of a sudden, he hears this little like scratching, and then he goes and does the Morse code. And I was like, "That's sick." And then the movie ends, and we don't know, you know, do they run away together? Like, is he bringing her somewhere to be safe and going back home? Are they just run away together? Is, you know, he planning on becoming a vampire with her? We don't know, and I'm okay with that.
I like the idea of them just kind of running away together. And whatever happens, happens. Whether he becomes her familiar, Maybe that's what the thought process is, but
Oh, I didn't think of that.
yeah. 'Cause I feel like he would do whatever he could to keep her safe and healthy.
Yeah.
So,
Cool.
yeah.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Cool. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
All right. For once, I haven't seen your score. So, how did you rate this movie?
I didn't see your score either, so.
Yeah, because I just fucking put it in. I forgot.
So maybe about like halfway through the movie, I was like, yeah, it'll give like a 3.5, 4 maybe. But by the end of it, I gave it a 5 out of 5.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I love this movie, man. I think this is one of the best coming of age movies, one of the best vampire movies. I just love the story. I love the acting. I love obviously the cinematography, the score, the effects, even the shitty cat CGI. I just it was great. I just really, really like this movie a lot.
Okay.
And I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah. Wow. I wasn't expecting a five.
Yeah.
All right. Sweet.
What about you?
I gave it a four.
Okay.
I think it's a great movie. This is a, I put right in my fucking in my review. This is a top five vampire movie for me.
Yeah.
I think it's so good. They push the limits on some things and they change. Not change, but the way that they film some things, it's very different than what we're used to seeing with vampire movies. And like how we mentioned before, it was so cool to see that whole thing where she just comes in without being invited. And like we actually see what physically happens to these vampires whenever they do this. And yeah, like some of the shots in this movie are so good, man. Like, and I just think this is a very given the fact that it's a vampire movie, I think it's a very believable representation of the relationship between two 12-year-olds. Like she's not actually 12, but this is what we're seeing. And like their relationship is just very believable. Like they start off, she doesn't want to become friends, but at the same time, she does. Like you can tell that she really does. Because she doesn't have anybody in her life except for Hacken. Right? And like she doesn't have anyone who is her age, quote unquote. So I feel like she gives out that warning, but at the same time, it's almost like a test. Like if you don't listen to me and you still want to become my friend, like maybe you're the right person for me. And I love the snowy atmosphere in this movie. There's just something about vampires and snow that just work. Like between this and like 30 Days a Night, I think that atmosphere really works. So yeah, I might bump it up to a 4.5. I don't quite like it's not quite a perfect movie for me, but yeah, I might bump it up a little bit.
Okay.
But as of right now, it's a 4 to 5.
Nice.
But yeah. All right. You guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus: Let the Right One In reinvigorates the seemingly tired vampire genre by effectively mixing scares with intelligent storytelling. I think they nailed it. But based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
Are you sure this isn't IMDb top 250, or at least it's very close? I'm say 94.
Almost 98.
Wow.
Yeah. That's on 193 reviews. So there's a lot of reviews on this one too. The audience score. So your score was right smack dab in the middle because the audience score is a 90% on 50,000 ratings and an average score of 4.2 out of 5 or an 8.4 out of 10. What's Letterboxd have?
Letterboxd has a 4 out of 5. Nathan gave it a 5 out of 5. Buddy Alan gave it a 3 out of 5.
It's just his typical.
Jensen gave it a 4.5. Slashing Captain 3 out of 5. Anthony, a 5 out of 5. John also gave a 5 out of 5. Screaming Cinema, 4.5. That's it.
Cool. All right, you ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
Right, how did you rate the scares in this movie?
It's not really scary. I'll say like a 2 out of 10.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd say like it's like coming of age, romance, vampire last, right? Like
Yeah.
the vampire is kind of like the
A
icing on the
secondary
cake
thought.
a little
Yeah.
bit, right? It's not like scary, like there's a bit of gore, like the guy's face that gets fucked up is like it's dark, so they can't really see it that well, but I don't know. Yeah, it's not really scary.
Okay.
Scariest scene, I guess I'll go with like when she walks in, like when she's bleeding all out of her orifices.
You got it.
I got it. Because like didn't expect it, right? Like you just see all this fucking blood coming out of her shoulder and her fucking ears and her eyes, and it's fucking kind of scary, honestly.
Yeah.
And would I survive? I would say yes, because like she seems like a good vampire almost. I don't know.
I mean, she kills a few
Like
people.
she does, but like I don't know. It seems like she kills select people, or like I don't know. She just seems different to
Yeah.
me. So,
It's like she's a vampire with morals.
yeah. Yeah. Cool. What would you?
Cool. My scares, I gave it a 3.
Okay.
I said it's not overly scary and it's more of a dramatic representation of the relationship. But there was a bit of gore and Ellie looks freaky when she's in bloodlust or like when she's hungry. So I don't know. I just feel like that look of her is really creepy looking. Scary scene, I said Hacken's face, like whenever he lands on the ground and you just see the cold air coming out of him, like you can see his breath. And just like you can see through his cheek right into his teeth, and it's just his face is all fucking mangled up and it's nasty. Would I survive? It depends on who's attacking me. Like, I feel like I could take Hacken. Because he seems like he's like kind of a pussy. But if Allie jumped me, I don't think there's any way that I'm surviving that. Just like that man that she fucking kills walking through the tunnel, like she goes to town on this guy, man.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she is real
And
hungry.
oh yeah. And then like even the boys at the end, like she took on three of them and didn't even bat an eye and fucking rips their heads off, their arms off, twists a body around. It's just like there's no way I'm surviving her. But
That's fair.
yeah. Anyways, wrap it up. I'm happy to be back. Finally. For our next episode, though, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to take a break from Europe because the next episode will come out the week after Halloween. So it'll be more of a Halloween episode, but I will let you explain it because it's your idea.
So I had the brilliant idea, I
It
guess. I
was
don't
brilliant. I like it.
know. We've done a few of these franchise episodes, and where we kind of watch every movie in the franchise and kind of rank each one and briefly talk about each movie. I thought the new VHS Halloween is just came out, and I myself have never seen any of the VHS movies except for the first one that I remember. So I thought, why don't we watch all 8 movies and
37 segments.
rank our top 10 segments from the franchise?
I think it's a great idea because we've been focusing so much on this Hooptober for the past month that anything that's not on that list is kind of taking a seat on the back burner. And I really want to watch VHS Halloween because a lot of people are saying that it's like one of the best ones, and some of the segments in it are fucking crazy. And you were telling me that you were listening to the Big Pictures Halloween episode or horror episode, and they had the director from one of the segments on there talking about it. And I was like, fuck, man, this sounds so good. So I'm very excited to do this.
Yeah, and it gives a chance to talk about a lot of directors too, because a lot of, like, especially from the early movies, right? There's directors on there that, like, that was kind of their dive into directing, right? So, like, I know there's, like, a few directors, like Alex Wingard, I think, was on the first one of the segments. So there's a lot of directors who, like, were given a chance. I think, like, the last one, wasn't it, like, anyway, I don't know what I'm saying. But yeah, what were you gonna say before?
I'm just like, I'm excited because I really enjoy the VHS movies. So there's some that are kind of duds, but I'm very interested to see how our top 10 lists kind of line up with each other. Like if we agree on any of them, and but yeah, I think it's a really good idea. I'm excited to do it.
Cool.
But yeah, all right. In the meantime, if you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. And there's also a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts where you can follow along with our Hooptober lists. There is links to other stuff that I forget right now. Everywhere that you can listen to us, but yeah. Anyways, yeah. I'm happy you
Cool.
like this movie.
Yes, me too.
It's a good
Cool.
one. All right.
All righty, guys. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Bye.